kids are heading down to junior church, and while they're doing that, if you've got your Bibles, go ahead and find Matthew chapter 13. Going to take a look at one of Jesus' parables today as we wrap up this series on giving, on finances, on generosity, and tithing, and greed, and a lot of the things that go along with money. Jesus talked about money more than just about any other topic in the New Testament, and so it's important that we have an understanding of what that perspective is. The risk is, of course, is that it makes the church look like they're always talking about money with their hand out, and that's what we want to avoid. We don't want to do that. We want to make sure we have a biblical perspective of what the Bible says about money and do so in a way that's helpful and not one that offends us or pushes us or makes us feel guilty or anything like that. We want to feel convicted. I don't want you to feel guilty. But it is an important topic to consider, and we're going to wrap it up today with this last message in it, and just kind of pull it all together and take a look at this parable that Jesus tells in Matthew chapter 13 with a look of what it means to expect a generous harvest out of our generosity. And we're wrapping it up, and some of you are breathing a sigh of relief with that. We're done because we've been talking about money, and that's a hard thing. And others have been really challenged by this, and I hope you have been. I hope that you're taking this seriously. And giving is an important aspect of our worship. We need to check our attitudes in this, just like we need to check our attitudes in any other area of our life. And we need to make sure that we are giving God our best in this, just like we do in every other area, so that we grow spiritually. After we finish this series up, we're going to move into a short series starting next week called Formed from the Inside Out. We're going to take a look at some of those heart characteristics that help us understand how to live out our lives of faith, this inner life that shapes our faith. It's five different characteristics over five different weeks that you can call them disciplines, you can call them motivations, you can even call them attitudes, I don't know, whatever you want to call those. That help us reflect Jesus well in the inner person of who we are so that shines in the outer aspect of our life. And then after that, beginning in mid-March, we're going to turn our attention to the book of Ephesians. And that one really has me kind of excited. We're going to take a look at Paul's letter to that church, and that's going to be a good series. This morning, though, we're going to talk about how our giving impacts our living and the harvest that God brings about because of it. So Matthew chapter 13. There's one statement that I have that I've made in every sermon in this series. There's a lot of S's in that sentence that kind of tripped me up there. There's one statement that I've made in every single one of those messages that I hope you've caught on to, that I've stressed all the way through it. And I want to say it again this morning, so just make sure that our minds are focused in the right direction. Because our giving is less about money and more about faith. It's less about money, it's more about faith. It's that simple. What we give, when we give, how we give, our tithes and offerings, is less about the money that we're giving than it is about the faith and the trust behind it. It's about faith. It's about trust. And when we do this, what we're actually doing is we're entering into a partnership with God, and we trust that God will do exactly what He says He will do in His Word, that He will provide for every need, for everything that we have that we need. It's fully relying on God. When I first started in youth ministry, one of the big trends as a college kid that was just starting in youth ministry was bracelets that said WWJD. You guys remember those? Those of you who said no have just identified what generation you're from. And the rest of us have identified what generation we're from, and we're old. They were bracelets that strapped around your wrist that said WWJD, and it stood for What Would Jesus Do, right? And they were a big thing. Everybody was wearing those things, and it was everywhere. And not long after that, somebody created another acronym, FROG. Remember that one? Fully Rely on God, right? That one didn't catch on quite as popular because nobody wanted a bracelet that said frog. But that's what it was. And so that's kind of where I'm landing here as we wrap this thing up is that frog statement, okay? This is where we fully rely on God. And it's kind of what I want to look at this morning. We're going to take a look at a parable that Jesus told. And I think this parable shows us how to make kingdom living, how to make generous living a part of our lives. And I think we can gain some truths from this that will help us to take this and live it out even after this sermon series is over and it's not a constant reminder. Matthew 13, starting in verse 3. He told them many things in parables, saying, "A sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. And still other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So he who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now, at first glance, that really doesn't look like it has a whole lot to do with giving, does it? More like our faith and how we live it out or how we have a strong faith or a weak faith. It really doesn't feel like it's giving. And that's exactly what I'm talking about, okay? And if I haven't said it enough, I'm going to say it again. Your giving is more about than it is about money. Okay, you guys are catching on. It's only taken 5 weeks, four, because we didn't have last week. But it's more about our faith. It's a type of action where we're reminded of our reliance of God, where we're reminded of the fact that, honestly, He owns all of it anyway. This parable teaches us what we need to remember when it comes to the very act of tithing. And if you don't get what the parable says, don't worry. You're in good company, because the disciples didn't get it either. Jesus had to explain it to them. So, skip down the page, and let's take a look at the explanation. Verse 19. "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path." And right there, Jesus says something that we need to make sure we don't miss. He says it very clearly that we must understand with our heart. What this parable teaches us is how we receive spiritual truth. And I want you to pay very careful attention to what it says here in the last part of the verse. It says that the seed was sown in your heart. It's not just with your head that you understand spiritual truth. It goes beyond that. It's not just head knowledge. Because here's the thing. The way you hear determines how you will respond. And that's what this parable is all about. It's about kingdom living. That's what giving is all about. It's about kingdom living. And in this parable here, Jesus gives us an overview how our faith is sown, how our love for God can be sown, and it impacts every single area of our life, not just giving, but everywhere. So when we see that, we realize that these four soils are really four ways that our hearts respond to God's truth. And this is what we've been saying over and over through the whole series. We give out of our love, out of our faith to God, and we're responding to truths that God has given us, knowing that when we look at that and we know that and we see this parable, now we can see how it applies to this area, this specific, particular area of God's truth in our hearts about giving. And so I think it might be a mistake to just simply interpret these four soils as four types of people. I think it's more complex than that. I mean, you can get that at a basic level, but I think it goes a lot deeper than that. I think not just people, I think they really kind of picture four different heart responses for us. And some of us have a heart that response that is represented by the path. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people that have a heart response that's represented by the path. And if that's you, then you're sitting in that chair right now and you're glad that we're about done with this series because you don't want to hear about giving and you don't care what tithing means. You're just ready for this to be over so we can move on to something else, right? If this describes you. So the path, if you're taking a look at that, the first one there is it's a hard heart. It resists God's truth. A lot of people come to church, though, with this heart response. They walk in the doors with this, and if for one reason or for another, I don't know, maybe they have a hard heart and maybe they only go to church out of habit, or maybe they're drugged to church by somebody else in their family or a friend, and for whatever reason, if you've got this heart response, church and God and all of the things that happen on a Sunday morning are nothing more than a nuisance that keeps you from sleeping in. That's a hard heart. And the biggest problem with this response, and just like the parable said that Jesus described, the seeds that are being planted or that you're trying to plant in a hard heart, they just wither and die. They just do. So a heart response like the path makes it difficult, if not impossible, to plant a seed of goodness in it that's going to take root. Generosity doesn't usually flow from this kind of a heart response. So it represents those who believe they've made the money themselves, so it's theirs to keep, and that is a slippery slope that leads right down the path to greed. And honestly, the only response to that is prayer. It's the only thing we can do, with prayer that God will soften that soil so that the seed can take root. Some of us might have a heart response like that of the stony soil. That would be more of a shallow heart at best. Your commitment to tithing may be there, but it'll only last as long as this series is lasting. And you've received God's word, you want to do it, but as the days grow further and further away from hearing it, you think about it less and less, and you want to do it less and less, and you listen to the message, and you give some so that you can get those blessings, so that you can give some more, and then life happens, and you think, I really can't make a commitment like that. Maybe a temporary one, but not permanently. I mean, this kind of heart response isn't really a budget changer. This is the heart where the seeds of this message series kind of sprung up, and you're excited about it. You got this warm, fuzzy feeling, but once the feeling goes away, you kind of wish you had the money back in your bank account so you could do something else with it, and so you back off of your giving. You back off of generosity because you decide it's not really necessary. Honestly, that's a pretty common response, too, of Christians everywhere. Not just with tithing, but in a lot of areas of our life. I mean, think about all the Christians who get fired up from the last message they heard at a conference. Or they go to some big event, and some dynamic speaker there really fires them up, and they get all excited about it, and then it lasts for a few weeks, and it kind of fades. Or a new worship song is released, and you hear it, and you listen to it all the time, you stream it all the time, and it's just playing all the time, and you're all fired up about it, but then it kind of gets old, and it kind of fades. And you kind of back off of it. See, I think the stony heart reflects the lukewarm Christian. They're the ones who are waiting for the next big conference or the next big sermon or the next big song to draw them in and fire them up again. And the hard truth is that if we want to know Jesus, if we want to have Him in our life, we have to pursue Him. We have to seek Him. Him, not some message, not some song, not some event. They have to seek Him. We have to seek to be faithful to Him. The third soil that Jesus mentions is the thorny soil. This one might be kind of the divided heart experience. You want to live for Jesus. You want to know His truth. You want to respond to that truth. But then again, not really. I mean, you kind of do, you kind of don't. The world kind of chokes you out. And you don't really want to tithe because deep down you fear that God might not be able to pull you through. That your problems, I mean, God might be able to help with some things, but man, my problems are just way too insurmountable, and God cannot pull me through with that. That's the world choking you out of that. That's those thorns that dig into you. You want to trust God more, but you want to keep things that you have. You want to hold on to those things. You know, I think that kind of was demonstrated in my life when I knew that God was pulling me away from youth ministry into preaching ministry. I spent almost 24 years as a youth minister working with teenagers. And when God started indicating to me He wanted me to move to a preaching role, the guy that was emailing me asking me to step into that, I was like, no way, no. No, that's not what you called me to. We had this agreement, remember? And it was hard. I wanted to do things my way. I wanted to trust God, but I wanted to trust God on my terms. And let me tell you something, God doesn't work that way. And that was tough for me. Making a transition to a lead minister role was hard in a lot of ways. But after a few years, I started to realize that it's not a whole lot different than youth ministry. Some of you still sleep when I teach. I worry about some of you when you're driving. And I won't point any fingers, but some of you still wear diapers. It's no different than youth ministry. You see what I'm saying? Just kidding. But you can't say, God, I trust You with all my heart, and you turn around and say, I will trust You with everything except I need You to provide this and this and this, and then I will trust You fully. He doesn't work that way. It's a level of a commitment that we've got to strive for. And if we don't, well, then we're stuck in some thorny soil. And the thorny soil confuses what would be nice to have with what we really need to have. And the thorny soil makes impulse buys, and it doesn't have any kind of a plan. And it adds to debt instead of subtracting from debt. And the thorny soil is a heart condition. It's a heart problem. Because Jesus himself even said back in the Sermon on the Mount, no one can serve two masters. Either he will love the one and hate the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Can't. See, a divided heart is a fearful heart. And out of fear, it compromises. And that just suffers this thorny relationship with Jesus in every area. And now the easy one. The good soil. You probably know what this one's about. This is the willing and eager heart that Jesus is talking about. The good soil heart response is the one where you know that what you want to do, you know what you want to give for God, and you just do it, and you don't worry about what's going to happen. You're just doing it for God, and you know He's going to provide, and you've already set up your budget so that you can tithe, and you want to give more, so you know it's more than just understanding through head knowledge, that it's through your heart, and you have a willingness just to give generously and expand your generosity because you want to, not because you think it's the Christian thing to do. Because it's the desire. That's the good soil. You do all that you do because you have a deep love for God. That's where it's rooted. Not because you know it's going to fulfill some sort of rules that you can check off that list or something you're required to do even though you don't want to. See, when you have this kind of heart, when you have the good soil, you do this because you love God. You do this because you want to trust Him more. And you have achieved what Jesus started off by saying. You understand with your heart. So you've got to understand with your heart. But the second thing I think that Jesus teaches in this parable is that we've also got to receive it with joy. Look at verse 20. What was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. I think that's important. Our attitude is extremely important how we receive the teaching on giving. And it has to be with joy. Because if you struggle with a positive attitude, and that's what we all need, a positive attitude. If you struggle with having a positive attitude, then you've got to find a way to grab a hold of that and hang on to it with all you've got. But we should not only just have a positive attitude, we should also have an attitude that shows that God is, frankly, God is a good God. Does that shine through in your life, that God's a good God? The Bible is filled with examples of this. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of your produce, and your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. God's good. He provides. Ephesians chapter 2, we're reminded of God's great mercy. But God, being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Isn't that good? James chapter 3, the wisdom from above is first pure and then peaceable and gentle and open to reason and full of mercy and good fruits and impartial and sincere. God is good. I'm going to say it again. God is good. There we go. And since He's good, we can receive His teachings with joy, especially even the ones that are hard, like teaching about money, because He's the one who brings the results from giving those things to us. And because he's good, we can anticipate that He's going to do good things, right? I mean, that follows. Because God is good by nature, He will do good things. And that means that we receive the message with joy results in reaping the rewards of God's love. Because God is good. Number three, easier said than done, but we still have to shoot for this one. Persevere through the tough times. Excuse me. Verse 21, he has no root in himself but endures for a while, and then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of that word, he immediately falls away. We're called not to have a shallow love. We're called to have an endurance quality to us. We have to persevere. Even the things that might wear us out and take us down and might knock you sideways, you persevere through those. You've got to grow roots that are so deeply connected to Jesus that you won't be distracted and fall away from that. Even when the budget gets tight, even when the dog gets sick, even when your knee gives out, even when the washing machine floods your floor instead of your clothes, even when all the things of life happen, remind yourself, persevere through this. Don't give up on God, putting Him and His things first. And then, yeah, we might have to wait for a sunnier day so we can give again, but those days will come. But you know what else comes? It's challenges. You can ask the most faithful of tithers, somebody who has tithed all their life, and if they're honest, they'll tell you something that along these lines. It takes many years of going through the troubles as a tither before you get really good at it. And if you've tithed for any amount of time, you probably know that's true. Because as we talked about a few weeks ago, we identified that giving is an aspect of spiritual warfare, right? And if the enemy doesn't want you to do that, you can draw the conclusion there. That's why it's so important that we persevere. That's why it's so important that we have to hang on, because Jesus uses things like this to teach us to hang in there, to endure, and teaches us how to be content. If you truly learn to live in God and put all your trust and all your hope in Him, you're going to find contentment in Him. And once you find that contentment in Him, then you can give generously regardless of what the circumstances might be, because no matter what happens, because you know it's going to be okay because He's got your back. He's taking care of it all. And then this is the point where you start to lean into that kingdom living, and you learn it at its finest is when God provides, when we give up, when times get tough. That, I think, is when we're actually falling away from God. Let me explain what I mean by that. I'm not saying that not giving will cause you to lose your salvation. That would contradict a whole lot of other things in the Bible, and I'm not going to say that. But here's what I mean. You find true contentment when you fall into God and into His protection and into His provision. But when you give up, you start leaning the other way. And when you start leaning the other way from God, you start obeying less and less in this area and in every other area as well. And it's a slippery slope that leads to a place you don't want to be. And when that happens, we stumble. Because we lose our trust. We lose our focus. And when we don't focus on God, then we turn to the only other thing we have available, which is myself, my own abilities, my own resources. And that's exactly when we need to give to God, and we need in order to get so that we can give some more to God. And living generously can help you lean in the right direction. And then number four, we need to quit looking at money from our own perspective, from a worldly perspective. We need to understand, and we need to build our knowledge on God's perspective about money. Look at verse 22. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Always, always watch out for man's view of money. Our view of money is what will choke us out. Our view of money is one that we've developed because the marketers want us to view it that way. They try to tell us what we want. You know, have you ever watched a commercial and you think, man, I really need that? Their marketing team just got a raise when you say that. Every time you say that, you're giving somebody a raise. That causes our wealth to deceive us. And when we look at the economy, or we look at world powers, and we look at different bank markets and different currencies and all that, we think that somehow God needs to have any of that, and He has to use all of that to have any kind of bearing on our lives. Let me tell you just a little secret that I've learned about God. He doesn't need world economies. He doesn't need big banking. He doesn't need world powers to get His will done. He did not need to take out a home equity loan in order to raise Jesus from the dead. He didn't say, well, I'd like to get Jesus out of the grave, but I'm a little short on funds. Can somebody spot me 20? Did not do that. He can take care of us, and He can provide for us according to His own wealth. See, there's actually only four things that you can do with your money. You can make it, you can give it, you can save it, or you can spend it. You can make it, you can give it, you can save it, you can spend it. And the Bible has a lot to say about all four of those things, either very specifically or just as general principles. You don't resist these issues with our worldly wealth, then two things are going to happen. You're going to be choked out spiritually, which is the warning Jesus gives us in this parable, and you're going to miss out on what God's harvest is. In essence, we're going to miss out on kingdom living, which is frog, remember? Frog, fully relying on God. Which leads us to the result of this. Point number five, if you're taking your notes there in your bulletin, we need to prepare for a great crop. Verse 23, as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. I mean, talk about a return on investment, right? If you're doing anything that gets 30% interest and return, that's a good return on your investment. If you're getting 60%, that's even better. And if you're getting 100%, that's what I want you to see here is those are so good that the only way they can be explained is if they're supernatural. Guys, I get thrilled when my investments make 10%. Can you imagine what God does when I'm excited? Woohoo! I got my quarterly statement from my IRA and I made 10% this last quarter. Woohoo! And God's like, rookie. If he can pull 100% return on this, that is huge. A few years ago, I learned this the hard way. I took some classes on the market and trading, and I decided I wanted to try to manage my own portfolio a little bit more, be a little more hands-on, and I learned, spoiler alert, I learned very quickly that I am not a good person to dip into the market and play and do that kind of stuff because it doesn't work as well as everybody makes it seem like. So I pulled out a portion of my savings. Not all of it. I wasn't dumb. Wasn't all dumb. And I took my classes and I studied and I watched the market and I applied what I learned, and sure enough, I saw a trend. I bought some shares from Chipotle. Now we have a Chipotle here in town now. I love Chipotle. It's really good. And within a week, my investment doubled, which means I bought two shares. I had four. Okay, we're not talking a lot, but it was good. I doubled my money. I was jumping off the walls excited because I had doubled my money. So I sold out. And then I watched a little bit more, and I watched the market, and I watched some trends, and I bought Apple. And I lost what I just made. Because they had a new announcement coming out, and Apple always does good when they make an announcement. But if I had really done my research, what I would have learned is that Apple always does good after they make the announcement on down the road. But the immediate dip right after announcement is always down every time they make an announcement. Insider trading advice from your pastor. Don't take it. I didn't pay that far attention. I just saw it's good. It's going to be good. And so I invested. It dropped. I lost everything I made. So I called my financial advisor. I said, you know what? I'll just trust you to do this. And that's been my experience ever since. It's been ups and downs. But you see, God does more than that. He's able to do 100 times more with what we invest in Him. 100 times more than what we can do on our own. That's huge. And the only way that makes sense is if God's in it. That is supernatural investing. And so this whole parable, it all boils down to a heart condition. Is your heart prepared? And so I want you to remember this phrase, that is the phrase here that this parable ends with. Excuse me. This phrase, what was sown? The crop, the harvest, is based on the seed planted. And what seed is Jesus talking about? He's talking about the seed of the kingdom. And if your heart is able to grow and nurture that seed through Jesus, through God, through the work of the Holy Spirit. And so that's what I want us to understand this morning. I want us to see that this parable, I hope it's had something for you to learn. Maybe it's teaching you a little bit more about what it means to tithe, and I hope that you're prepared, but maybe it's just teaching you what it means to have your heart ready for whatever God wants to do. As we wrap this whole series up, I pray that you are challenged to give so that God will bless you and return that to you so that you have the ability to give again, not to give and get and keep for myself, but to give so that I can get, so that I can give some more. And remember that it all boils down to faith. We don't know the outcome, but I do know the one who controls the outcome. I do know the one who brings that huge investment on that return. And I can be generous in my giving because I can trust that he will provide. Don't let your heart prevent that seed from taking root. Don't be like the soil on the path. Don't be like the stony soil or the thorny soil. Be the good soil. Let God into your life. Place your trust in him. Learn to find contentment in him. And when you do that, you'll be totally prepared for the road ahead. Kingdom living at its finest. And you're going to find out that kingdom living comes with a heart that's generous. You hear, you understand, and you obey. Because what seed was planted in those soils? This seed. The seed of God's word. And when this takes root in your life, that's huge. God does amazing things. God does incredible things with a heart that is allowing his seed to take root and grow. Be the good soil. And it starts by making sure that the soil is receptive to Jesus. We've had 4 Sundays. You can take out one of them because we had snow. We had 3 Sundays. And we've had decisions. We've had 2 baptisms and a membership placed in those 3 Sundays. People are responding to God's word in their lives, and I want to see that trend continue as we move ahead into this year. I don't know if God has been working on you this morning. I don't know. What I do know is that when we hear and when we're receptive, when we respond, God does things. And that's always exciting. Sometimes it's chaotic, but it's always exciting. So it starts with being ready to hear Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus, then we'd like to introduce you to him today. We're going to sing a song of invitation. It is Where He Leads Me, number 593. I feel like we did that last week. We weren't here last week. We just reprinted the bulletin with a new date on it. If you need to make a decision for Jesus, let him lead you, and we want to be part of that and help you with that. Let me pray. Father, so thankful that because of who you are, we can trust that you're in control. And I know, Lord, that some of our circumstances feel completely overwhelming, and we don't know where to turn or how to get through it or even what the other side of it might look like. What I do know is that you're there, and we want to trust you. Lord, help us to trust and help us to respond in a way that communicates that trust for those around us to see, that we can live out this kingdom life in our giving, but also in our praying, and also in our sharing with others, and also in our every aspect of life, that you shine. Thanks for sending your son to make it possible for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.